Well, we're about the middle of France. come out around Abbeville, where...
Does he have water?
The Abbeville kids were in Yellow Noses, where there, and there were supposed to be a bunch of bad guys. When I'm going home, I had the guys kind of in spread formation going along. We had plenty of fuel. We had dropped our tanks and burned out the rear tank, and so the airplane was ready to go. So we're cruising along, not too, I don't even remember, but say 20,000 feet or 15 to 20. And I was looking around, and all of a sudden I see a high above us four ME-109s. They were in kind of in a spread formation. Excuse me, Jack.
The abuse you take, dude.
These damn things, you grab a hold of them and they...
That's for you, sir.
I'll spill it all over everybody. So I'm watching. And there was a flight of four. And we're going along, and I see this single guy comes out, and he starts right after us. And, you know, a fighter pilot can't talk without using their hands. If I had to sit on these, I couldn't tell you this story. So, single guy coming down after us. And so I had a flight. We just broke into him, and he goes back up, sits. And he keeps tracking us. We got back on our course for home, and they keep coming along. And a little later, he starts again. One guy, we break into him, you know, like we would go head on with him. And that's not fun if you'd have to really do it. And he breaks off, goes back up. What's going on here, you know? So we keep heading home, and all of a sudden, out of nowhere, comes a single P-47, and he attacks us. He thinks we're ME-109s. We break into him, and he pulls up like this, and he's probably looking back and saying, "Oh, crap. P-51s. And while he's going up, this Messerschmitt came down on him, got right on his ass, and blew him up. By that time, the guy had lost all of his energy, and he was right here. So this time I said, "By God, you've slowed down. You're in trouble." And I went over after him, and I got right on his tail. Well, not ready to shoot. And that guy cruises along, bails out of the airplane.
So, that was the worst kill he's ever had. Sound of Freedom. But, you know, the Eric Hartman always had this view. Is he never shot anybody who saw him. He only shot people who just drifted in front of him or, you know, never saw him. Did you ever shoot anybody that didn't see you?
What's that?
Did you ever shoot anybody who never saw you?
Yeah, probably. another worst one was later, after the invasion, when we defeated the Luftwaffe in the spring of 1944. And what we killed most of their really good, experienced pilots. You know, the core of the Luftwaffe was killed, and that's how we defeated the Luftwaffe. General Doolittle turned us loose, took all the restrictions off. You know, staying with the bombers, 18,000 foot rule. That's out. Pursue and destroy. So after after D-Day, I think we noticed, when I look back, that the pilot skills dropped was much lower than before. And I can remember being attacked by a single Focke Wulf. We broke into him. That seemed to scare him right there. So he ran, he got into the clouds, and it was just a thin deck. And sitting above it, I could see him. And I think he's in there trying to fly instruments and trying to hide. And then here's a big opening up ahead. And so I follow him, and I could see him, you know, a glimpse of him in the cloud, thin clouds. And he breaks out into this big open space. And I just slip around on his rear and like that. And I really felt sorry for him for a millisecond or so. But I pulled up alongside of him, and the airplane was smoking badly. And he popped the canopy, and a huge batch of flame just came right up through the cockpit. It was kind of a horrible sight, but that's another worst one, worst kill.
See, I bet you guys never heard these stories. anybody heard this story before? There you go.
You haven't read my book, I guess.
Buy his book. He's signed enough stuff in there, so he paid for it. High angle snapshots. So, you know, when you think about shooting somebody with a gun in an airplane, once that bullet comes out of the cannon, the guy's got to fly through it. And most people, it's not low angle stuff. The real trick, and this is, I think, some of the really great fighter pilots just had a great eye for high-angle gunshots. Can you tell us about high-angle gunshots? And I guess that takes us into your first kill.
Yeah. first kill.
Well, but just another thing, because Bud's told the story a lot, and a lot of people have heard it, that he kind of was waiting and waiting and waiting for that first kill. And so this is a story about, like, the wait is over, and it's a high-angle gunshot.
Yeah, we were, I was leading a flight of four on the way home. And another flight joined us, same group, but just a different squadron. So we had eight or nine, I can't remember. P-51s, and we're going home. I'm leading. And I look up ahead, and I see this B-17 down below us. One engine feathered, one of them smoking, and he's chugging along all by himself out there. Wait, we're back in Germany. So I said, well, let's go take this guy out to the coast. So we head on over there. And out of nowhere comes three Mu-109s. Their belly is up to us. We're coming this way. The target, the B-17's down here. They're coming down, going after him. Obviously, they didn't see the two flights of Mustangs, or they wouldn't have come. So I said, all right, guys, one of those is mine. So we cut them off at the pass and started getting into a circling dogfight. Well, if you get into perfect circles, you can do something about it. But if you get started wrong and you come at the guy at a high angle and then he's coming at you at a high angle, going around and around and around, and I can't quite get it in tight enough to get on his tail. And he comes shooting by me, you know, at 90 degrees off, and same way with me. So I had, I knew how to shoot. I shot quail as a kid. I went through 1, 2, 3 gunnery schools, the last one being the Royal Air Force Gunnery School. And I had done a lot of practice shooting because I was a flight leader. And so I said, God darn, why can't I get on his tail, you know? And I learned later that a ME-109 in the hands of a good pilot down low could give a Mustang a hard time. So the next time he come around like that, I says, you know what I'm going to do? When he's here, I'm going to pull through him and fire and see if I can't hit him. Now, when I do that, I'm bellied up. I can't see him. And I have to have it very accurate. So I pulled through him steady, pulled out here what I thought was a good lead. I can't see him. Fired a burst. And then he comes through. I see him, and he smoked coolant. A hot dog, I got him with a lucky shot.